And good afternoon. Welcome to Taylor Report. We come out of the woods, out of the darkness, out of the silence, and here we are. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We'll be joined in a little while, we assume, by Phil Conlon, who is in transit. Or maybe we could say he's on assignment. Okay, he's on assignment. We expect him. We're going to feature Zafar Bangash, Crescent International, one of the authorities on issues in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Kashmir, the Middle East, particularly when it has to do with Islamic affairs and politics of the of those regions. As our listeners may know, probably the most popular prime minister in modern times of Pakistan was maneuvered out of office some time back, not so long ago. It has caused widespread demonstrations. By the way, they seem very well organized demonstrations. These are not riots, because there's a very powerful segment of the Pakistani political community that is very much on the side of Mr. Imran Khan. General opinion is that he got it sideways with the Americans and the British by refusing to sign on to their policy, which has to do with Europe, by the way, have to do with Ukraine, which is not, as others in the region, in that region say, nothing to do with them, and they have their own opinions about how it could have been, the crisis could have been avoided. But at any rate, Mr. Khan was very outspoken, and the U.S. remains very powerful inside Pakistan. There's a very powerful army, and he has been speaking out about the manner in which he was removed from office and, of course, demanding elections, which would seem to be a pretty smart way to solve the issue of who represents the people. But he is now, I believe he's under house arrest. Zafar Bangash will be able to tell us. There's also talk that he might be accused of terrorism, which is a popular accusation. Everybody now uses language of this type. It never contributes to resolving things, but there, you can tell that we've moved from a kind of objective political reality to a highly subjective, where inflammatory language has to be introduced in order to silence people, remove them. But that will be, we expect at about 5:30, we'll be talking to Zafar. I wanted to mention that, of course, we're having an important visitor. I think his office is president of Germany. Mr. Scholz has come to town. Toronto Star has a picture of him being met by Chrystia Freeland, deputy prime minister, which is, of course, you have to study optics. We do optics in the West. Who meets who? How do they, do they hug each other? Do they handshake or do they stare? You know, so it was a warm greeting. We've talked about this on the Taylor Report previous. Canada said it was going to not ship turbines, not return them to Germany. These are German. The Germans have turbines that are part of the Nord Stream project, and they get, Germany gets a lot of fuel from that, from the Nord Stream. I'm going to say north because I think that's, I'm translating. And it became kind of a problem because Germany said, well, wait a minute. You say you're getting on Russia's case, but you actually seem to be hurting us. And, you know, in 2 months, is winter will begin, and we need those pipelines to be functioning, and the turbine is necessary. Which leads us to, I believe, it's kind of an important matter that is not properly discussed. in order to please everybody at once, which, as anybody knows, can't actually be done, but to pretend that you want to please everybody at once, they said, well, okay, since Germany has asked, might even say demanded, we weren't in on the call, they said, we got to have those turbines produced by Siemens, not produced, but repaired by Siemens. So please turn them over. And so they said they would, which put, it was, well, it was sort of fun because Christian Freeland is regarded as a Ukrainian patriot, nationalist, and she's much the thought of as this, the voice of Ukraine in the Canadian cabinet. But when the call came from Washington, and I noticed Washington is downplayed in all this, but they're the ones who signed off on this. They said, yes, you should give those to Germany. But there was a fly in the ointment because in order to save face, they said, okay, well, all right, we'll do this, but we reserve the power and right to think about it in the future. But that isn't, you see, that's poisoning the process because you're not dealing with, well, let's put it this way, you are dealing with a business partner. You made a deal. That deal has to stand up. You can't say it's going to be, the deal we agreed to will now be parsed and considered by other parties. The third parties didn't sign that deal. Germany made a deal with Russia, and Russia said, we're going to need those turbines. And then the Canadians say, you can have the turbines for the moment, but we're going to think about future. You can't do that, actually. Unless you're a bandit. And so, objectively, what's the answer to the question is, yes, they're bandits. They think like bandits. By the way, the biggest problem Europeans are about now facing is the illegal, they're not legal, illegal sanctions about which everybody plays music and pounds their chest and say, we have sanctioned. All those sanctions are illegal. And there's all kinds of agreements torn up. People's money states' money are taken. It's like the U.S. and Canada playing games with Afghanistan. Afghanistan, they left it 1 year ago. And now Afghanistan, not surprising, it was always a poor country, but now they say, well, we're not sure if we want to recognize the government. Meanwhile, by the way, we want to be in touch with former supporters of the last president who was defeated in a war after Canadians zealously trained and helped and assisted and boosted and et cetera, his government and his army was defeated, routed, chased down the street, laughed at. So anyway, our association's there. We want to continue and leave Afghanistan in a near-starving situation. That is not, those are the values of the cabinet and the prime minister and the president of the United States. The U.S., there are reports today that the U.S. is starting to hedge that a little bit because they said they were going to take all of Afghanistan's funds that they had in their possession and distribute them as they pleased. I mentioned bandits. They think like bandits. So they said, oh, we notice you have the money here. We're going to take that. We're going to give it to somebody. And meanwhile, of course, we all want you to have a democracy. Well, that attitude is what is causing the problem. We have this thing of the great power arrogance where they can treat a country like Afghanistan in that way. So, but to go back to the point, if you made a deal with Siemens, live up to the deal, it's just business. The Europeans, the Germans, are the main recipients here, they will benefit. And that is to say they get their heating so that the winter isn't grim for them. They have every right to expect that. Whatever you might think otherwise, that's the way it should go. Now, on this issue of, let's tie it in with the fact that we can't get good information. We're not properly informed of what is going on. I just now mentioned the U.S., for example, doesn't get mentioned when we talk about the turbines, but the main voice in that discussion was the Americans, and they were thinking short term. They said, "Yeah, let them have it." So, at the Taylor Report, we talk about this a lot. You don't get information, and it's a good time to mention in this that most of the reporting now is in the realm of subjective and I would call it a rooting section kind of reporting on the crisis flowing out of Ukraine, which originated not in 2022, but originated at least in most relevant terms in 2014. And let's throw the name Lisa LaFlamme into this. People are saying, well, poor Lisa, she was ill done by a news organization called Bell. We all thought it was TV something or other, but it's actually Bell. So the Bell guys, who actually don't do reporting, but they hire people who do, they were, what's the old expression, male chauvinist. I am sure that's true. Her program, her work was up to the standards of CBC and CTV and all the others. Certainly CNN and Fox, who have both become just people, programs and cable outfits that throw mud at everybody and each other primarily. But you know what we have to say is that it's what they do is bunk. Their reporting is bunk. It's all rah-rah. It's all never doubting, never testing, never seeing whether somebody's telling the truth, independently determining if an allegation by one of the armies is true or not true or likely to be true. They don't do that. They take their handout from the bosses. They take it from the Foreign Office of Ottawa, and they take it from the Foreign Office of the United States, and they doll it up and they read it. And I think that since it's all bunk, any narrow reporting, and it's narrow reporting nationally, is bunk by definition. So I think that those fighting for Lisa LaFlamme are right, except they need to say that it's bunk, and she should be the one who's producing the bunk. It shouldn't be this other guy, because they're trying to get a younger, different type of face, because they're mysterious people. I don't know how they operate. Perhaps they gather in small rooms around candles and determine who gets to read the news by prayer. Perhaps they do. But the fact is that what they come up with satisfies the State Department primarily, satisfies NATO. And I think Lisa LaFlamme ought to be the person who regurgitates what NATO tells them to do, which she's been doing with talent. Therefore, if it's going to be bunk, Lisa should be allowed to be the one to do it. I do agree with Bell on one point. I noticed that the Bell bosses said that there was a budget issue, that she wanted a larger budget. She wanted to go and have her picture taken on a hillside in Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere exotic, because it makes selling the bunk a little more credible. I'm actually standing on this hillside. For people don't know what I'm talking about, I'll cite the great Dan Rather, who is great in his stupidity and American chauvinist way of looking at the world. We got into the Afghan mess partly because Dan Rather had his picture taken, footage taken, standing on a hillside, actually in Pakistan, I'm told, but saying that he was with the Mujahideen who were fighting. Get a load of this for you people who love ancient history. They were fighting the communist government of Afghanistan. Afghanistan had had a revolution in 1979 or 8 and had produced a socialist government which had socialist ideas, and by the way, in which women played a big part because they're socialist. So the thing to do was to call them Russians and then to back people called Mujahideen, who turned out to be just the Muslim Brotherhood in war paint. And they began to practice really heinous form of warfare. But Dan Rather, he put on a Pakistani costume and stood among the, what he called the Mujahideen, who were going to climb those mountains and kill Russians. They were actually killing Afghans, of course, who were fighting on the side of the socialist government. Can you believe this? People have forgotten completely, haven't they? There was a socialist government. And yes, they had their problems. It's a hard, Afghanistan is not easy to rule. I think that there's one place where no matter what your political perspective, you'll know that it's a tough place to rule, particularly when it has Pakistan as a neighbor and the Pakistan army is helping one side or the other. But to go back to Dan Rather, see, this was supposed to make us just swoon that, wow, Dan Rather, dressed as a Pakistani, standing on a hillside and boosting the Mujahideen, among whom prominently was an individual named Osama bin Laden, later became very, very famous. But at the time, he was just part of the group. He was there as a Saudi who objected to socialism and wanted to kill everybody who thought about it, and was doing it happily. And Dan Rather was breathlessly running up and down the hill, pretending he was all there and all that. He came back. So look, that costs a lot of money. I have to say to Lisa Laflamme, just take the handouts. They'll give them to you. Doll it up. They'll send you pictures. You put up the pictures, sit behind the desk, and it's bunk. What you're doing is pure bunk. And so on that side, I agree that Bell should probably, why waste your money? Just tell everybody every night that we've been talking to our favorite guys, the ones that our government favors, and we bat the ball back and forth. Former CIA guy will come on and be interviewed. A former general will come on and be interviewed. A displaced Afghanistan supporter, pro-democracy, will come on and he'll talk. And you don't have to leave the newsroom. It's all packaged. There's nobody going to contradict you. We don't have anybody to contradict anything. Everybody's in sync. It's the NATO army, and we are gold, and we are led by people who will repeat all the little lines they've been told from NATO headquarters, whether it's the NDP, the Green Party, the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party. They'll all repeat the same stuff. So you save money. And maybe, actually, you could double the salary of Lisa. You don't need to go over there and pretend you actually know what you're doing. Or certainly you're not going to go over there and cause any problems so that they chase you home. That, by the way, has happened once in a while. Like Fox News had that guy from Puerto Rico, forget his name, and they had him out in the desert with them when they were liberating Afghanistan one of those times. They'd been liberating Afghanistan now for 40 years. So he was there in the desert with them, but they didn't like him much. And so he was reporting, and he took a stick, and he drew some imaginary borders. And he said, and here's where the army is, and here's where they're going. And so they said, oh, you violated the deal. You have to get out of here. And they chased him out of the U.S. military, since the Vietnam War, has decided there will be no more reporting. If you want to do any reporting, you better be a long way away from them. And I would say, by the way, anybody who knows about these things, is I've never heard of a general who wanted to see a reporter, and this was MacArthur after he had his picture taken with the bodies of prisoners or something. But they don't like people coming around and asking questions. They get rid of them. So that's what they did in Afghanistan. And that's where we are, that most of the reporting is bunk, and that the people who read it, it should be equitably done. Lisa Flam should be reinstated to read the bunk. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Zafar Ben-Gesh. I think we'll have I want to play a piece of music from Bob Dylan, and then we'll come back and chat some more, and then we'll be talking to Zafar at 5:30.
Come, you masters of war.
We're back, I'm sorry. We want to hear Masters of War, but we'll probably hear it at the end. To acquaint you, let me see. We better say something about Taiwan, because we have now a game being played. It's the same game they played with Ukraine, by the way. They already know what they're going to do. And so they start this thing about, oh, we have a little problem with Taiwan. There is no problem with Taiwan. Pierre Trudeau, father of Justin, was a great advocate of clarifying relations. By the way, it improved relations with Africa and other places, in that Canada was an advocate for settling the issue, getting it done, and it was done. It was agreed by the United States and Canada, and has the imprimatur of the United Nations Security Council, and there sits China on the Security Council. Taiwan is part of China. We say so. When they say, well, you know, Beijing says the Communist Party. No, 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 no. Listen, dummy, you said so. It was your idea, dummy. You said so. Taiwan is part of China. And this little silly game of saying, oh, it's a self-governing island. No, 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 no. It is, all of its doings is under the aegis of the People's Republic of China. We all thought that was a good idea. To go back, just to help you out with your history, Taiwan was China under Harry Truman. And who were the other birds? I don't know, Ronald Reagan, Nixon. At any rate, they said Taiwan was China, because if you look at the flag of that country, you'll find that it is, the flag was made in China, and the picture on the wall of the president's office is a picture of Sun Yat-sen. Sun Yat-sen is the father of modern China. The Republic of China was recognized in 1911, but that's the main thing to know. It was the Kuomintang, and when the Kuomintang played a rather poor, shabby role in World War II, they didn't live up to much, because all they wanted to do was have the Americans and others win the war, and they would go back to running China, but they found themselves with a People's Revolution, which they had been trying to put down since 1927, couldn't do it. And the People's Republic of China was established, but the West went on recognizing Taiwan as, guess what, China. So don't be silly and childish and keep running place to place. The world does not have any illusions about this. So when people say, oh, well, we recognize their independence, that's a lie. That is a lie. That is... If you believe that, you are bonkers. And it also shows that you're the kind of bonkers person who could get us all hurt. We've got to call it maybe Pelosi fever. Nancy Pelosi is a typical California Democrat or Republican. They're all enamored of Taiwan and their special relations with it. Many of them profit from it. But those days are running out. And China has said all along that so long as it's understood that Taiwan is part of China, there's not going to be any problem. They have no plan to do anything by force. They don't see the point of that. There is a divided political community, and largely divided because the U.S. used to be a big Kuomintang supporter. When Kuomintang was claiming all of China, and people like a senator named Bill Nolan in California was calling for Chiang to be unleashed so he could go and reconquer China, that illusion died rather hard. And so Taiwan was speaking for the mainland. One place there's no dispute, the Kuomintang and the Communist Party of China, the people's government there, all agree it's this one place. And there isn't any need for violence between them. And all they actually need is to be left alone to work out how the relations will be done. But Japan wants to make a comeback, and the U.S. would like them to make a comeback because the U.S. is looking for allies and to make trouble for China. The people they're allying with to do this, of course, are the ones who once conquered the island of Taiwan and called it Formosa. It was called Formosa at the time. And try to make it a Japanese colony. However, as you might have heard, Japan lost World War II. And speaking of two, they had two bombs dropped on them. That's one of the reasons they lost. But their ideas about coming back are very strong. And the U.S. encourages this so as to see if they can make maximum trouble. So we ought to stop lying about what's going on. Canada, the United States, and U.K., can't resist poking and causing difficulties. They're going to regret that. But the problem is that the rest of us may regret it too. It ought to all come to a stop. So a Canadian politician says, well, we want to do business. We reserve the right to do business and blah, blah. That's fine. Just say, of course, living up to our own commitments, we recognize that China's and Taiwan are one country, but we're going to do some business. You do it respectfully, you're not going to have a problem. But if you continually flirt with a lie, you are really drawing us into a problem. Canadians ought to be actually vigorously objecting to this, loudly objecting. Quit playing games. You're not a great power. I would remind government of Canada that they do not have very many aircraft carriers. They don't have many nuclear weapons. You're not allowed to have either one because the United States determines that. You don't have a big army. So you probably ought to pipe down. And you ought to be the voice of reason. Let's flatter them and say it's a middle power. Middle powers ought to be very concerned because when big powers come at it, middle powers often disappear. So there's a responsibility of Canadian people to remind them of all the agreements and remind everybody that the People's Republic of China sits in the Security Council because it was part of the war that we all want not to happen again in World War II, in which their casualties were in the millions, fighting our enemy, Japan. And Germany, but in the case of China, they were fighting Japan, fighting, of course, to liberate themselves from a colonizer who was standing on their chest trying to kill them. We should pat them on the back for helping us do that. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen, I think, this time. We will listen to anything that comes up by Dylan will suit me, and then we'll come back and talk to Zafar. And I will stay here till I hear that music. Again, our guest will be Zafar Bengash, and he is known to our listeners.
Here the big guns, here the build the death planes,
Yeah, that build all the bombs. Yeah, that hide behind the walls.